We talked about the finite patience among fire victims and the larger community in the fire's wake. The outpouring of unequivocal generosity during the disaster continues, but appears more muted with the passage of time. It turns out instant solidarity and sudden camaraderie is quite common in a catastrophe, as are the fissures and disputes that arise as emergencies fade into memory. Laird Easton wrote about this in a recent Washington Post op-ed piece. He's a professor of history at Cal State here in Chico, where he teaches a course on disaster. He came to our studios this week. One of the things that I thought was most interesting or most compelling about your piece in the Washington Post was your discussion of the evolution of the aftermath of crisis and catastrophe, that people immediately have this tremendous solidarity and then that slowly or quickly breaks down over time. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, you find that often in a catastrophe. A good example would be the 2004 tsunami, where initially people forgot their caste differences, their ethnic differences, and class differences, and came together to help each other. And that's very heartwarming. But ultimately, that dissipates. For one thing, the question of who gets aid emerges, and some people don't, and others do, and that creates tensions. And you find this as well in a catastrophe like the First World War, where initially all these societies came together and felt that they were in this thing together. But over time, class tensions were actually exacerbated by the strain of the war. So this is a common pattern in catastrophes.
That's certainly something that I'm seeing, people kind of being concerned about, you know, who's the worthy poor or the unworthy poor, who's suffered enough to deserve aid or not. And then people initially were giving fire victims the shirts off their back. Last night I was at a Paradise City Council meeting, and folks were concerned about the potential damage to property values by allowing modular homes on the streets or throughout town.
Yes, that's a good example, and the concerns about traffic and so forth. On the one hand, one can perhaps console oneself by understanding that this is a common pattern in catastrophes. On the other hand, it's also important to remember to fight against that, to bear this in mind. Inevitably, there's a kind of fatigue that develops after a catastrophe, and so we may be seeing signs of that already. And then there is this very capricious matter of who actually had enough fire insurance, who didn't. And so these issues start to become more salient.
What is the end point, or what's the sort of next piece? Where would this be heading?
A catastrophe of this magnitude, though on a smaller scale than some of the ones I study in my class, takes a very long time to recover from. And there are good examples in history of societies that, in fact, never really recovered from a kind of collapse. So this is a long process. There's going to be, and already are, enormous effects on the housing market. There's a residual population that may not be able to find housing again in California. But this is going to be a very long process.
Laird Easton of Cal State, Chico.